Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Every Wednesday, we invite some of the top political reporters in the state to discuss the nimble nuances of South Dakota politics. Today, we welcome John Hunter. He is publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. John, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Lori. It's great to be here.
And Roger Whittle. He's managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Roger, thanks for being here as well.
My pleasure. Hello, John.
Hi, Roger.
Let's start with crossover day. John, will you educate me on how this works and why it's noteworthy?
Well, South Dakota, just kind of real briefly, to pass legislation really kind of needs five things to happen. One, it needs to pass a House committee, the full House, a Senate committee, the full Senate, and then get a governor's signature. So all these bills start out in one of the chamber's committees. If it passes there, it goes to the full body of that chamber, and then eventually it has to go to the other side, and so that's where you get crossover. There's a deadline that's today that says we're coming down to the end, so you can't start new stuff now. If it hasn't left the original chamber to go over to the other one, it can't. So there's a scramble on today that will get everything from that it started in the House, that it's on its way to the Senate, or vice versa. And so there's a lot of scrambling today. There are a few exceptions to that. You know, a legislator could propose voting to suspend the rules, which is kind of rare, but you'd need a two-thirds majority to do that and say, no, you can cross over even after this, but that's unlikely. So basically today will be the last day it'll head out of the first chamber into the other.
So what does that look like for the lawmakers? Does that mean it's a particularly long day for them, or it could get sort of tedious at this point, or is this something that they see coming and they sort of plan for?
Yeah, Lori, it does make for a long day, and mostly in the full chambers, not so much in the committees. The committees that did meet this morning are already working on stuff that had crossed over earlier. But in the full chamber today, they may go till, you know, early evening hours when they normally wouldn't, just to try to get everything resolved. And so, you know, they could vote to kill or to, you know, somehow they have to dispose of all the bills in front of them. So, yes, it'll be a long day today. And then, of course, all the things that pass out of one chamber to the other then have to start in the opposite chamber's committees. And so those will kick into gear even higher tomorrow.
And Roger, how does this affect decision-making and strategy? Is this a way to sort of make something go away that you really didn't want to deal with in the first place? Or how do they sort of game this crossover period?
Well, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of gaming going on. I think, as John said, they kick it into high gear to work to get things done. I mean, there are other ways to kill legislation without using...
The game is to get things done.
Yeah. So they do. They work hard. This is probably the hardest working day of the session for these guys, and they will keep at it and keep at it until they get where they need to be.
Roger, the governor met with transgender folks who came out to help him get some perspective on HB 1008. What do you know about that sort of... It was a private meeting, right?
It was. From what I heard, it lasted about 30 minutes, and he met with a few transgender students and I believe a parent or two. And he had previously said he had never knowingly met a transgender person, so I'm sure this was a very educational and eye-opening experience for him. From what I've read, he said he learned a lot, but he has not tipped his hand yet on whether or not the meeting has affected what he will do with the bill, which is still up in the air.
And John, the clock is ticking on that. What sort of procedural choices does he have going forward?
Well, he can veto that bill if he chooses, and then it would go back to the houses, and they'll need, if they want to or would vote to override that veto, which would require a supermajority in each house. He could sign it, which would indicate his support of that bill, or he could do nothing and actually would become law without his signature. So, but there really aren't, and the clock does tick on that, and it's a five-day kind of thing, and that ends Tuesday. So something will happen in the next few days, one way or the other, and we'll know.
And John, are there political implications for him personally as he makes that decision going forward?
That's a good question, Lori. I don't know. You know, of course, his besides being lieutenant governor, he was also at the Children's Home Society, and has known people of all sorts of backgrounds and so forth. So I think he's generally considered someone who did what Roger described, as meet with people and try to understand them better. And so I think by doing so, I think he did the right thing. But he, as Roger described, you know, he said, I have my set of values here, and so I'm going to make that decision based on what he believes. And so I think most people would respect others who stick to their beliefs and would go with that. So I don't think I can't think of a lot of negative long-term feedback that would come of this for him.
Roger, let's switch over to the education bills and somebody trying to sort of say, I'm done with this. So there's some tensions, a resignation, and then maybe a changing of the mind of someone who's from your neck of the woods, Lee Schoenbeck.
Right.
Give us an update on that and how that sort of unfolded and where is it at right now?
Well, it's been an interesting week, to say the least, around here. We had a Cracker Barrel session here on Saturday morning. This was after the bill failed by one vote, and then on Friday, the day before the Cracker Barrel, Representative Schoenbeck made the motion to bring it back to vote again on Monday, which was successful. And in our Cracker Barrel, I was fortunate enough to be the moderator for that, and it was pretty interesting. He had no kind words for the Republic, for the leadership of the Republican Party, his own party. Called them clowns, called them pond scum, called them cowards, liars. He was he was in prime form.
Not hold back.
He was saying that their plan to come up with $75 million out of the current budget was a phony, a fake. He said it's not there. He went through line by line of what they were talking about doing, and said this is impossible. You can't do that. It's baloney. And and then on the following Monday, he of course got two people to switch their votes, and it passed. But the repercussions from that, he was barred from the caucus on Monday after word got out of his attacks at the Cracker Barrel. And then at that point, he decided he was going to quit about 11 o'clock at night. He put out a Facebook message saying he was going to resign. He couldn't take it, you know, bad leadership. He didn't want to be a part of that. And now the last we've heard is he is reconsidering, and he's going, apparently his wife, Donna, approached him and said, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea to quit. He decided to spend the weekend talking with his family about it, and then we'll make a decision sometime over the weekend. But it was probably our best attended Cracker Barrel up here in a long time.
Maybe, and compared to the next Cracker Barrel that he's at.
Well, unfortunately, this is the last one, so there won't be another one. But it is up on our website. If anybody wants to listen to it, you won't be disappointed. It's a good one.
We'll put a link to that on our website too, so people can find that. What are folks in Watertown saying, or what are his constituents saying about him personally? Are they impressed with his tough talk, or are they frustrated with the sort of rhetoric?
No, I think this bill to raise teacher pay has pretty broad support, and I think a lot of people admire him for what he did, and in fact, a lot of his colleagues apparently were congratulating him, and our reporter quoted one fellow House member, Republican, as saying that Schoenbeck became the leader for the Republican Party in this whole effort, and I haven't heard one bad word about his actions so far. So,
John, will we look back and say this is the guy who basically got it done?
Well,
I mean, how significant is, you know, this sort of moment?
Yeah, it was surprising, at least a little bit, on how that focus came to Lee on this, and you know, because certainly there were, you know, the governor and his staff were proponents, and they worked behind the scenes with all sorts of legislators. But it was, I think, a little bit of an unusual situation where you have a party with the governor's chair and supermajorities in both houses, and the majority of the party voting one way and the leadership of the party voting a different way. Hmm. So that's kind of unusual. So clearly it shows some sort of fracture between the leadership and the membership of the party in the House, with the governor in there too. So I mean it's an odd dynamic. You've never really seen that. At least I haven't. Usually that they're kind of falling in, you know, more predictable manners. So I was startled by the whole thing. And of course Roger knows Lee a lot better than I do. But I'm, you know, and it seems to change a little bit by the day here. Mm-hmm. The repercussion, I think, of course, is that if the bill passes the Senate with an amendment, it needs to come back to the House for concurrence, and mm-hmm. you would need the same two-thirds to concur. And if you're now one vote short on that, there's a dynamic there too, and I'm sure that's part of what Representative Schoenbeck will talk with his family about and others, is to go through the session to get this done as he has championed that.
So on one hand, his work is not done. He might have to continue this sort of stressful situation. On the other hand, if he leaves, that's a pretty significant vote that just walked out the door. Is that kind of, I'm understanding that correctly?
Yeah, it's a big deal, and regardless, and I recognize the stress that goes with that. It's stressful for all legislators. I think this is kind of on par with some of the other big issues of the last decades, where people are contentious and can be mean-spirited, I understand the stress that goes mm-hmm. with that. I wouldn't want to be in some of those shoes, taking that stress.
John, give me an idea. How does that work that you can be barred from caucus? Because when I heard that, I thought, really? They can just keep you out because you said that they were liars? How does that work?
Yeah, that's another part of the startling thing, and maybe Roger will have some insight on that too. But from what I understand, that there were, I don't know how you can do that. Republicans, of course, have had closed caucuses all along. Democrats are open caucuses, and so then kind of anybody can go in there. You can go as a private citizen, you can go in there as a member of the media or whatever, but the Republicans have long had this closed caucus, which those of us who favor open government have never been very excited about, especially in a situation where you got super majorities. You can make decisions in caucus that are out of the light of day.
Right.
So, but to physically bar them, to people stand at the door and say, you know, and with a highway patrolman nearby.
Right.
I wish I had a photograph of that or a video or something. And I'm just, it really does surprise me what's happening, and I'm sure it will. We have not heard the last of this.
Roger, do you want to weigh in on that moment at the caucus?
I do. That's from what I heard, that they actually had people physically standing in the doorway, not letting him in. And the reporter made a correction on the highway. It was not a highway patrolman, actually. It was the House Sergeant of Arms was backing them up, and I don't
have a gun.
I don't know if he's as heavily armed as a highway patrolman is or not. But I can't imagine that they took a vote to bar him. And again, we don't know what happened, but it was just a couple of the leader's lieutenants standing there at the doorway, not letting him in, and he apparently didn't want to fight his way in. So
do you remember that ever happening before, Roger?
I do not.
I do not.
It's amazing. Like
I can't even
saying.
Imagine it actually.
And procedurally, it must be allowed. It's just unprecedented because why, what circumstances?
I'm not sure because it's not really, a party caucus is not really part of the kind of the, legal structure of the chamber. And so you can kind of meet with people that you choose to, kind of if you want to have dinner with someone or whatever. It's kind of, if I'm understanding it correctly, it's not, there aren't state statutes that govern those things.
Right, and that you don't even have to have them. It's just where they plot strategies. So, it's informal, and they just didn't didn't let him in.
Roger, you know him better than most. What is your prediction? Maybe I shouldn't ask you what you predict, but do you have an idea of what you think, knowing his character, he'll do next? Do you think he'll follow through with the resignation? Or do you think he'll stick around for at least the rest of this session?
I really don't. I know his Facebook friends have all been, when he first announced that he was quitting on Facebook, his friends were immediately saying, don't do it, stick it out, you know, you're better than they are, don't let them win, you know, things like that. But, you know, you never know. Like, for instance, our Cracker Barrel, before the session started, we had one, and there was a school board member in attendance who was urging the legislators to vote for the bill, and Lee got upset and almost in an argument with him, saying, you know, it's your responsibility. You could do an opt-out of property taxes and raise enough money to give teachers pay. So, you know, don't come here and be telling us what to do until you do your job. So at that point, I'm thinking, well, Representative Schoenbeck is dead set against the teacher raise. And then, you know, this comes up, and suddenly he's leading the charge for it. So he's a smart, interesting guy, and I would not venture a guess as what he's going to do.
Sure. Let's switch to another resignation in a slightly different way. Lucas Lynch, Secretary of Agriculture, was just on our show maybe even last week, and now he'll be gone by the end of March. John, you want to talk about the timing of that?
Well, I certainly don't think he resigned because he was on your show.
It's the first thing I thought. I thought, oh, no.
I'm confident that that was not it, Laurie.
That was the last straw.
So, no, I mean, I think he's going to pursue something else. I don't think there's any, you know, kind of thing behind that, that he's resigning in protest or anything, or that someone caused that to happen. I just think, you know, he worked in that department before and became secretary, and then he said there, you know, not quite 3 years, and I think he's just going to pursue something else, is my guess.
Roger, are there other folks that stand in line for that sort of thing? When do we find out what happens next with the Secretary of Agriculture position?
Well, my guess is there too, the governor will fill it fairly quickly, but getting back to Wahila, I think this is a problem that state government has a lot, is the private sector can pay people a lot more, you know, especially people at that level. So the fact that he resigned to take a private sector job, I don't think was any indication of any problems, you know, in our Department of Agriculture.
So then we naturally make the connection to that and teacher pay. So salaries have to be good enough to keep good people in their spot, right?
Exactly.
John Hunter is publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Thank you for the vote of confidence, John.
Thanks for putting it together, Lori.
Thanks for your time today. And Roger Whittle is managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Thanks today for your time, Roger.
No problem.
When we come back from the break, business, ethics, and protecting the Pope. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.